You ready to go, Mike? Mike's got a revelation around this book. How many of you have heard of this book or read it maybe or seen? Now there's a movie come out. It's a book called The Shack. It was quite controversial, wasn't it, Mike? When it first came out, there was a bit of, oh, I don't know about this. But it's Mike's going to tell us a bit more about it. And I think by the time he's finished, we'll all be reading the book and wanting to get to the movie and having a clearer understanding of what it's all about. But let's pray for Mike as he prepares his heart. Mike, let's reach out our hands. Just pray that God will speak to us tonight, encourage us. Thank you, Jesus, for Mike. We thank you for the revelation that he's experienced through this movie recently and through this book. And I just pray that as he shares, as he speaks, that you'd touch our hearts afresh. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Good man, Mike. Got to learn to be a rock star, and how do you hold this, Nath? Yeah. Oh, guys, thanks so much for having me. Already I was thinking when I got in my car, I looked up and there was like all the crazy stars in the sky, and I suppose a big part of my talk here is about God really cares about the detail, so it was good when I was kind of talking to God about, I've been really encouraged reading the book and coming up with a few thoughts. So I hope that, a few of you guys can get similarly encouraged. I don't think similarly is a word, but it'll do tonight. Roger sort of kicked me off here. Who's read the book? Who enjoyed it? Yeah, oh, one over here. Good start. Yeah. Oh, awesome, guys. I just want to talk, I read the book 5 or 6 years ago and really loved it, and have just recently watched the movie, and that was awesome also. I kind of want to be all Rogery here and have my notes there, but just not even look at them, but I think I'm going to stick to them like glue, actually, so just to make that difference here. Oh, guys, this is a fictional allegory that, as I said, I really enjoyed reading it. And when I was kind of starting this off, I thought, why did I really enjoy it? And I think, although it's far from the Bible, but it just got me thinking more about God's character and my relationship with God, and how that varies and how that's cool, and that journey, I suppose, that I go through, that we go through. I'm just going to get my head around this techo stuff, but can I change slides? Awesome. Guys, as I said, I want to make that clear, it is a fictional story. The author is... Here's this photo up there, William P. Young. Did any of you guys go to when he came to Hamilton? And yep, still one. Oh, a couple, yeah. Oh, three. It's like, it's like an auction. This is awesome. Guys, I knew it was on, and Natasha went, and I really wanted to, but I missed it. I was busy at that time, but I would have loved to have been there. So I don't know. I don't know the testimony as well as you three do, but such an awesome testimony. Just, I suppose, in a nutshell, he was a missionary's kid that was taken out at a young age onto the missionary field, and some of the, I'm not exactly what sure the areas and that he was in, but some of the tribes that he was in sexually abused him, and he took some of that baggage right through into his adult life, and that built up with secrets and so on, to the point where he was married and he had a lovely family. He's got a few kids, I think, 3 or 4 kids. He ended up having an affair, and that kind of burst his world wide open, and he his wife almost gave him the ultimatum. She said, I've had enough of this. We're going to sort this out right now, or I'm out of here. And that was the wake-up call he needed to kind of throw open the cupboard doors there and just lay it all out. And so this book was, it was just like a love letter he wrote to his family and his close friends to show the pain he went through. He calls the pain the great sadness. Or through this book, they talk about the great sadness and his great sadness that he wanted to explain and hopefully give them some insight so they don't go through the same kind of journey and pain. this bit's a little bit painful, but I'm just, lots of us haven't seen it. I just want to read a little bit what it's about, just to sort of set the scene a little bit. Mackenzie Mac, Phillips, Max's nickname, suffered physical and emotional abuse as a child at the hands of a drunken father. He witnessed similar abuse of his mother as well. But as an adult, he had a bountiful life with his wife Nan and his three kids, Kate, Josh, and Missy. Mac's life is shattered, however, when his youngest daughter Missy disappears during a camping trip. While he was saving Kate and Josh during a canoeing accident, the police determined Missy is a victim of a serial killer after finding her torn dress and blood in a vacant cabin. The tragedy details Mac's faith and life until the onset of winter, when he receives an unstamped typewritten note in his mailbox. The surrounding snow is devoid of any incriminating tracks. The message is signed Papa, which is Nan's nickname for God, Nan's his wife, and invites him to meet him at the cabin. Thinking this may possibly be an opportunity for meeting and capturing or killing the serial killer, Mac drives himself and finding the ruined cabin cold and desolate and empty, but suddenly encounters a mysterious trio of strangers who invite him to stay the weekend. The trio of strangers gradually reveal their detail. The purpose of the invitation is first to help him to better understand his life as seen from a much broader context and higher perspective. The realization helps free him from the inclinations to pass judgment upon himself as well as upon everyone else who crosses his path. It is from that new starting point that he may then continue his long, slow journey into healing. Oh, lots of cool parts about the movie, but touching on that, a really awesome part of the movie is that I think they portrayed the Godhead or the trilogy really well. I still can't get my head around it, that God, you know, God came as a man and he was on the cross, but God lives in us also. And God lives in us and God lives through us. He's, you know, we're his kind of vessel in that too. So they portrayed it in a really simple way as three people pretty much. And I think that simplicity is good for human brains. To extend that revelation could have been really messy. I'm just going to play a little trailery thing.
We gotta go.
Let's go.
Do you think the princess should have a red dress like mine?
Red it is.
Where's Missy?
Missy!
Where's Missy?
Sorry, Mac, they haven't seen her.
Missy! Missy!
I was scared. I didn't know what to do.
Hostile suspect sighting. Ground team's found the truck in the mountains.
I'm really sorry, Mr. Phillips.
You want some help over there?
I'm okay.
Well, some dinner tonight.
Maybe next time.
I'm so sorry.
We've lost so much already. I don't want to lose you too.
The letter showed up in my mailbox. With no tracks in the snow.
You're not thinking about going back there, are you?
I gotta do something.
And you know this isn't a good idea.
It's crazy, but this is all I got.
Got a fire going inside if you want to warm up.
Mackenzie Allen Phillips. I've been looking forward to this.
Do I know you?
Not very well, but we can work on that.
He's still having a hard time believing this is real.
Why did you bring me here?
There's no easy answer that'll take your pain away.
Where were you when I needed you?
I never left you. I never left this.
Ain't it just like a tear to go and blow?
You want me to forgive him? I want him to hurt like he hurt me.
You want the promise of a pain-free life. There isn't one. Yeah, when the pain.
You can do this.
I can't.
What on your own, Scan?
This is your flying lesson.
cool, was it? But yeah. Just going to find. Oh, awesome. Guys, my thoughts about the movie. I suppose the movie, I'm going to, yeah, I sort of selfishly related some of that to my life. So that's probably what my revelations are tonight. But a big part of the movie is about not being judgmental and forgiving others. But it's not really what kind of grabbed me, so I'm not going to go there tonight. But those are the kind of 4 points that I really kind of enjoyed kind of processing. For those that have seen it, it was such a heavy movie. I think it's the heaviest movie I've ever been in. I finished the movie and talked to a couple of the friends next to me and said, "Are you serious?" Like, that was heavy, and they're like this feeling the same as me. And as you walk out of the theater, it looks like people have been run over by a steamroller. You know, it's all these. But in a good way, there's just so much going on. I really questioned that as I kind of walked out, and that, like, we all have. I've seen plenty of really sad movies, and I'm losing a child. I can't think of anything worse than that. But there was just something so much more, and I just started thinking about that, and I came to the conclusion, I think we all, in some way, have a great sadness. And we all carry a level of baggage and brokenness, that the idea of understanding that and learning how to start to deal with that, and then probably succumbing to the idea that the way of dealing with that mostly is probably working it through with God. So much. I was going to start saying about what mine are tonight, but I had about 15 pages, so I thought I would stop. But I know my pride is a huge problem. I know I never feel good enough. I'm always scared what people think. So, those are the things that I probably deal with on a daily basis. Who needs God? Who needs God? Who really needs God? Can I go to the next slide, please? Gosh, and I'm blind, so I'm going to do this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I became a Christian when I was 20, and when I was at that stage, during your honeymoon stage, and I was, following around as many speakers and driving to Auckland and seeing David Pearce and Si Rogers and Cheryl Pearce, just all these legends on the testimony trail, and going to bands, and it was a really awesome time. But I come from an awesome home. I'm really lucky. Really blessed. I always had food in my stomach. We were never rich, but we always had enough money that I could wear the right clothes and whatever. My parents are non-Christians though, and they still haven't met the Lord, but they're really awesome. In those earlier days, I used to talk to God, and I'd go and hear all these awesome testimonies, and going, "Oh man, I wish I could have one of those cool testimonies. I got beaten up and all these heavy drugs and all this crazy stuff," but I never kind of did that. So God woke me up one day, and he reminded me that when I didn't have God, I was in a really, really dark place. And meeting God and gaining a relationship with that, I've got the most powerful testimony that I need to stand really proudly and renounce. So that was a really cool revelation when I got my head around that. Who needs God? We all need God so much. Awesome. Can I go to the next one, please? God knows no boundaries. He is without measure. This slide kind of is relating to my point about God's infinite character. The movie stars as God is a black woman. Like, what? That's what I love. Kind of when I got into the book, I was like, wow, that's so left field, as you may say. As the movie goes on, the black woman turns into an Indian-looking man, and he becomes God, and he works with Mac through the journey. This was a really, as Rog said, this was a really controversial part of the film, that God can be a black woman, and one or two, you could actually even look at God. You can't look at God. The Bible makes that clear. a really cool part of the in the film when Mac's kind of getting his head around it all, and he's saying to God, Papa, like, what's up? You're a black woman. That's the last thing I'd expect. And then the black woman, Papa, is explaining that right now you couldn't deal with a male figure. This is what you could deal with. And that really kind of hit me, like, as I sort of started off, God does care about the details. As he goes on his sort of searching for the body and what have you, God turns into a male, and that's the right thing for him at the time. What have I got here? God presents himself in different forms to meet us where we're at. God's infinite character. I know something you commonly hear is people say, God spoke to me through creation. Sorry, I don't want to sound like a Corona Raglan weirdo the Bible's full of God's awesome character and God's attributes. That's how that kind of sewed in there. God knows no boundary. He's without measure. Just a funny little story I kind of wanted to share. I think you have to almost be in the moment for it to mean more than it is, but on my discipleship training school 100 years ago in Newcastle, Australia, we did this Father Heart of God week. That's when I fully met God. I believe I kind of just about touched God. And one of the speakers there, he knew, like, this is a third-hand story, this is not the truth, whatever, but he knew someone that had done the old died and gone to heaven and come back, and knew someone or knew of someone, and he was sharing this guy's testimony. And I can't remember much of the story. He dies, he goes up, he meets Jesus, he kind of hangs out and goes through heaven, and it was awesome. But one part really stood out to me was God took him into the throne room. And I just remember thinking how awesome it was, this, I don't know, massive Colosseum Cathedral. And he walks in through the back door, and God sort of, he's looking at the back of God, and it's just packed with, dead Christians just worshipping. And it was just such an awesome kind of scene. But one thing stood out. There were these two angels flying round and round the top of this massive kind of cathedral. And every time they came round, they kind of bumped into the wall, and they kind of said, "Holy, holy, holy." And then they'd go around again and do it again. And this guy that's with Jesus is saying, "What the heck? What do those angels keep going around and doing the same thing again?" And Jesus said, "Because they're coming around and they're seeing God, they're seeing another attribute of God, more of God's character." And that just blew my mind. How big God is. Sorry, I hope that didn't go over your head. It kind of went over mine a bit there. But can I go to the next slide, please? Yeah. Luke 15:11-24. There was a man who had two sons. I'm not going to read that, but when I thought about my next kind of point, the incredible patience of God, just the prodigal son story came into my mind. An incredible, that story can be looked at through many different angles, son one, son two, father. Just particular picking on the father. Verse 20 really stands out about the father's incredible patience. "But while he was still long off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him." Yeah, I just even saw that tonight, and that was cool. I was just thinking, as I walked in, I was standing over there helping sort out the audio and that, and Ed was standing at the door, and his son comes kind of running down the aisle here and was going, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." And Ed just sort of picks him up. And I don't know, it was just, for me, that almost symbolized that story. You know, just an awesome picture of kind of father-son love. But the father's filled for compassion for us when we look to him, not even when we're lost or far away, but when we take the time to look at him, he is so unbelievably stoked and stoked to be in relationship with us. God's awesome patience. In the movie, there's a few things that happen. Matt kind of ends up meeting his dad his dad's passed away. He's kind of this freaky light guy, and he kind of meets him. And then another part of the thing, it was on that movie a little bit. He Mac looks out of the cave through the waterfall and sees Missy in heaven. And but this other part that wasn't probably quite as impacting, but I thought was cool when Mac's like packing a sad. He's freaking out about the whole thing, like anyone would. And he's going, "I'm out of here. I've had enough. This is too weird." And God's kind of super loving, you know, and it's just like, okay, it's on your terms. You go. We'll still work through this, you know. And it got me thinking about God knows us so well, and God created all our emotions, but God doesn't have kind of the feelings and the emotion like we know them, because His ideas are just spot on. And his patience probably overrules emotion and sort of human ups and downs. I suppose myself relating to that, some of the things that you start to see God do, or you need something, or God's timing, you think, "Oh, this stink, man. He's got this one wrong." It's funny how God's timing is always perfect in our own lives. I suppose back to my testimony, it took me 6 years to become a Christian. I joined a group called Christian Surfers when I was 14, and I was going to all the camps and all the Thursday night Bible studies and having a really cool time. But I was still getting my head around what I could see around me. I could definitely see some of the crew with something going on in there, and I kept a close eye on that. In a way, looking back, I think God could have looked at that six years as complacency and or blindness, but looking back, He never did. He was so stoked when I finally made a commitment to Him, and He was ready to, you know, really embrace me. And I suppose the only way to explain that is that I was worth it. And it's probably what I want to say to all you guys tonight. You guys are all super worth it, you know. You're just super worth it. So keep pushing. Can I go to the next slide, please? And as I'm blind, I'm going to look up here. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The whole movie's about love, ultimately. It's about a journey to reach wholeness. Probably a pretty heavy part of the movie for me, and it played in the trailer, was when Mac is cooking dinner with God. Sounds just weird saying that, but he's going through, you know, his great sadness, and he says to God, like, "Where were you? Where were you?" And it's probably the only time in the movie where God doesn't get grumpy, but she becomes quite strong and says, "I never left you. I never left Missy." And wow, that's heavy. It's so easy to get immersed in your own sadness or things you're working through, and then wonder where God is. But yeah, I just wanted to super make that clear too. God is always this close to us, you know. And I don't want to talk about that. When last time I spoke at Te Uku, I spoke about my little play with my bowel cancer. And I went through that time when I got diagnosed with that. I thought it was a death sentence, and I was like, "Well, this sucks, but this is it." And as I remember saying last time I was here, it sounds weird, but I never once prayed for healing. I felt I didn't have the energy. All I could talk to God was about wanting to be in His arms and His embrace and close to God, and that's the only thing that could give me peace. I had a group around me that were praying for healing, and all I wanted to do was stay in my Father's embrace and for my sanity, and that's what got me through. So I can tell you firsthand how close God is. Awesome. Speaking to the parents in here, when Oscar, my son, was born, I was just overwhelmed with love, you know. I was just like, wow, like, how can I love something this much, you know? It blew me away, and I, I said to one of my friends after being about a weekend, like, man, what happens if I have another one? I've got no more love, you know? And they said in a nice Christian way, just to, I'm an idiot, so that was encouraging and cool. But I would say to God, I was like, oh, God, is this, I remember keep saying to God, is this how much you love me? Like, and the only thing I could get in my ear all the time was just always the word more. It was just more, I love you more. So kind of, it was pretty nuts. I love my son so much. Could I put him to death for others? No. Just that one sentence, he will never leave you nor forsake you. That word forsake always was kind of a bit holy and freaky for me, so I kind of looked it up, and can I go to the next slide? Forsake. God will never abandon you. God will never desert you. God will never quit on you. God will never leave you high and dry. God will never turn his back on you. God will never give up on you. God will never disown you. God will never reject you.
Awesome.